What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loud up, what do you got?
All right, I'll make this one short and sweet. I'm actually really excited for this movie, but kind of worried because sequels can be a hit or miss. So one of my favorite movies growing up was Hocus Pocus. I loved Hocus Pocus.
Bette Midler's in that movie.
I know. Yeah. And they announced a sequel way back when.
Yeah.
But it's finally premiering only via stream on Disney Plus starting September 30th. So I can't wait to see it, but I'm also worried because I know, you know, sequels can be a hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Today.
I remember seeing the movie once. Don't really remember most of it after that.
Oh, it's one of my all-time favorite movies.
I'm sure it's a good movie, but yeah, not. I've only seen it one time.
Most women our age, like Laura and I's age, I feel like this is like a top 10 movie for sure.
Yeah. Yes.
What is the movie?
Hocus Pocus with Bette Midler.
Gosh.
Who else is in that movie?
Sarah Michelle. No, not Sarah Michelle. No.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
I love Sarah Jessica Parker. I love Bette Midler. Why don't I know this movie?
And then the little girl was
They're like witches.
Too.
Yeah.
Thora Birch, I think her name is.
Yeah.
The guy that did Binks, he was like, he's in NCIS, had been in NCIS forever. One of the agents.
I love Sarah Jessica Parker. Like
that was like her first big movie, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it was her until I was older and was like putting two and two together.
I was like, that's Sex and the City girl. Come on, Cappy, you need to get with it.
I'm sure your kids probably know. Yeah.
Hocus Pocus.
It's about Halloween.
What is this Hocus Pocus you speak of?
This is such a bizarre thing, this Hocus Pocus. Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker. I love both of them, and I don't know this movie.
Yeah. Well, you also don't know a lot of movies.
That is true.
How old is this movie? Movies.
Oh, yeah. My God, like 20 years old?
No, it's really? Like 40 years old. It's 30 years old.
Yeah, it's got 90s.
40, I am 30. Not that old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 30 years old.
It's in the 90s somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this,
like
this is Hocus Pocus 1, not Hocus Pocus 2.
This is going to be the sequel.
First one, yeah.
Right. The new one is the Hocus Pocus 2, though.
Yes.
Okay. And Sarah Jessica Parker's in it again?
Yes. Yeah.
1993.
I put a spell on you.
There you go. So, wow, almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Crazy. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. The great Mario Ruiz is in the studio because he's doing work today. Mario, you see what they did to your boy Max Kellerman over there? They gave him the Jordan crying face. Would you care to comment on this? Because, you know, you worked with Max for a very long time. I found that over in the TV building, and I brought it over the other day. There's some headsets somewhere, I'm sure, but...
Hey, Mario Ruiz.
He can't hear you yet. He doesn't have headsets, so you probably
should.
The
man who makes all these amazing promos about LAFC.
He does. Oh, you're trying to do a Mario Ruiz impression.
Right. It's not bad. It's not bad.
It wasn't terrible.
LAFC tonight on 710.
Hey, Cap, we only met one time, right? Because we both work from home a lot. But we only met one time, and I feel like we're close already.
Yeah.
Oh, Mario, listen to me.
Yeah.
You and your wife, first of all, I had so much fun hanging out with you guys at the after party on Friday night. But I want to tell you, with what you were wearing, your gear, okay, you must come be my guest. We're going to do a Del Mar day this summer.
I'm going to be
down
there.
At the racetrack.
Sure.
And you got to rock that green jacket, dude.
That green jacket? Nah, I got some pressure for that.
Yeah,
I got
some pressure. This dude has real style. He don't need a stylist like you and Zap or whoever you bring in. I mean, Mario's got it all in his head.
We already got our reservations, our tickets. We're ready to go.
Oh, dude, I am so psyched, man. How much fun was the after party?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. You and your friends that you had there, they were the best hosts. I thought my wife can host the party. Your friends there, I forget their names, but
the Benson family.
The Bensons, yes.
The Benson family.
They had the drinks come in. They had the food there. It was just off the hook.
Look at you, Cappy, throwing the big party after your big victories.
Well,
after you were Buster Douglas on Friday night.
Totally unexpected. But what I loved was when Mario comes in, he goes like this. He goes, hey, I'm looking at the bar right here. There's tequila, and there's vodka, and there's beer, and there's wine. And the LAFC playing tonight on 710. Like, I just heard him. He's like, hey, how are you? And I was like, I know that voice, man. I know that voice.
Yeah. So I brought you in here because you worked with Max.
Yes.
And I
Max
found
Max Marcellus, the best show ever here at 710.
I mean, maybe second best. But
tell me about that morning show. I know you're not talking about that morning show.
No, I'm talking about this show. But this show is award winning.
It's up and coming.
Yeah.
Six-time Mandy Award winner.
Yeah, there is.
I'm just trying to get away from that table that I was at the Mandy Awards.
I mean,
we heard about that.
We heard.
That's why I was at the party with Cap, because I'm trying to come over to this side over here, because I don't want that losing to rub off on me.
Yeah, we had room for sure.
After the award show, I said goodbye to Mario, and he was like, "Yo, man, I got to sit at your table next year."
I think I might have been the only one that went up to the stage actually from my table, right? And I wasn't even expecting it.
Yeah. So anyway, this picture, funny. I found it in the TV building. It was literally in a closet.
So good.
And it's Max Kellerman, and they superimpose, Photoshop the crying Jordan face. Whoever did that is an incredible Photoshop artist, because I can't fathom anyone doing a better job than what they did with this
good.
Max picture.
And it's like poster size too, so you really get to see it really good.
Yeah.
Wow, they did a good job.
So I think you should take a picture of it. Yep. You should send it to him and let him know that he's still here in spirit every day.
Yeah,
so,
he is.
You speak to Max?
Yes.
Every so often, we talk about the fights here and there. We'll text, but that's about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's busy. He's got an early morning show on the East Coast. You know, he's got the TV show. He's a busy guy, that Max Kellerman.
I talked to Marcellus a little bit more often than that.
Yeah. Well, we definitely all heard from Marcellus that day.
I mean, yes, we did.
Made sure to call Key Fat Boy like 17 times. Yeah.
Yes, he did indeed.
So, Mario, what else you got cooking today?
Today, I'm just getting ready for LAFC tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah. See that?
Right,
hey, are you cutting some spots? Like, tomorrow on ESPN 710. It's LAFC hosting. Who are they playing?
They're playing against FC Dallas.
Against FC Dallas.
There you go.
And do you use any of the names of the players for these promos?
The captain, Carlos Vela.
Yeah.
The captain, Carlos Vela, welcomes Dallas FC to the bank.
It's a West Coast clash at the bank.
Yeah.
Dude, I love it. I'm like your biggest fan,
And this could eventually be a playoff matchup between these two teams.
This could be a future playoff matchup between Dallas FC and LAFC. When Chicharito comes to town.
No, Chicharito is not coming to town on this one. Yeah.
And LAFC is all in, let me just tell you.
Yeah, they're good.
We want to talk a little bit about sports. LAFC's all in, just like the Rams did.
Gareth Bale.
Just like the Dodgers did. We got Gareth Bale from Wales.
Yeah.
And then we got Chiellini from Italy.
So now, is Bale really going to come in July? Like,
he's
is that
coming July 8th. They're aiming for that.
Okay.
What's the Italian dude's name?
Chiellini.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
He's a defender. He's played against all the top strikers in the world. He's probably the hardest competitor in soccer of our lifetime.
Yeah. Wow, and by the way, I think LAFC this year can do it, because in the past, Seattle's been kind of in their way.
Oh, Seattle's a great club.
But this year, they're struggling. So they may not even be in the playoffs.
They're playing in
the
Seattle tournament.
Sounders come to town.
Is that how I sound, Cap? Yeah.
Listen, I love your promos.
Yeah.
Dude, when I hear them, I try and do your voice. You know? I do, because I just love the way you voice them. I love the way you pace them. I love the things that you say. Dude, Mario, you don't get it, man. I'm telling you right now, as a matter of fact, I am your biggest fan.
Hey, speak on it, Cap. Tell
feel
me some
me.
More.
Feel me.
I feel you, my man.
Thank you.
So, are you going to go to the LAFC game, Cappy?
Gary Bale comes to town.
Not Gary.
Who
that's
it?
Like his uncle, probably.
Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale comes
Chiellini.
To LAFC. And Chiellini is going to be on the field working hard when LAFC welcomes the Seattle Sounders to town. It's a Western Conference battle.
Yeah.
And we got our own big three. It's going down this year. We're going all in.
Yeah.
You know
we should do a Sedano and Cap LAFC field trip.
Mario and I have talked about
about it.
The schedule is just tough right now.
How much of the season is left, Mario?
We're about halfway through.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in, by the way.
We will figure it out.
Sedano's a busy man.
It's hard. Yeah. It's just the challenge is that.
What's funny is you always say, like, oh, the schedule is a little tough right now, and then we just got to get through the NBA Finals, and then there's like a week that goes by, and then we're like, oh, he's
schedule's
got Summer
tough
League.
Again. Yeah,
and just, then he's got football.
Yeah. It's not really easy.
He is a busy boy.
We got to get you guys out to be the Falconer or something like that.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to do that desperately.
Oh, Cap, you got to do that. Mason
or
did that.
Sing the national anthem.
Yeah.
Can you the guys sing?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Mason. Mason
can
does that.
No, Cap can sing. I think we can make Cap think he can sing it.
Right. You know? Well, that's the whole thing. You just have to make me think that I can sing it.
Yeah.
I mean, put it this way. I can do better than, like, some of the worst national anthems you've ever seen.
Yeah, the Falconer.
Like, you know,
yeah.
You know, Carl Lewis.
I can't tell because I don't have headphones. Yeah. I lend them.
If Mason did the Falconer thing, then you could do the Falconer thing.
Oh, I would love to do the Falconer thing.
I think you should.
All right, I'm looking at the rest of the home schedule here. Mm-hmm. Like, we can figure this out here. Hold on. So, July 8th, I will not... It's the Galaxy. I don't know if that... First of all, they probably have someone better than us at the Galaxy.
I think July 8th is probably already taken.
Yeah, that's my guess. So... What else do we have here? Sounders is probably taken, right? DC United in August? Maybe. I won't be here August 16th, actually.
Alexi Lawless comes back with Washington Revolution.
Alexi Lawless is on Fox, like, talking soccer these days.
Tony Meola comes to town.
Ooh, Real Salt Lake.
So we got, like, two spots open.
Okay.
Honestly, to tell
what
you
are
the
they?
Truth, we got two dates open.
What
I don't
are
remember
they?
Off the top of my head.
Yeah. You text them to me. I'll look back at my phone.
Okay, we'll take a look.
Yeah.
Mario, this is a great
Let's
idea.
Make it happen.
George, one of the things that Mario and I think, tell me if you remember this, I think that we had this conversation at the after party.
Yeah.
So this guy, Mark Rogandino, who's one of the LAFC broadcasters.
Rogo, what up?
When he was a kid, his babysitter was Rachel.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did
Small
crosstalk.
World.
Yeah.
Rogo's a big NBA guy, too. You like him, Sedano.
Well, he came on the show one day.
Yeah.
Yep,
we
did.
Talked to him on the show one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one date has already passed, and then the other one is I'm on vacation, so I can't do it.
Okay.
So next season.
Okay, we'll make it happen.
Next season, Cappy, we'll do it.
We'll broadcast
You know
what
we do? And we'll do like a sweet night.
Yeah, broadcast
we'll bring
there.
We'll have like a couple listeners.
Yeah.
We'll
have
do it.
From the
All
community
that.
Come.
Yeah, we'll have, right, we'll All pick that. From the community on Twitter.
That's a great idea.
So we'll get it ready for next season.
Let's do it.
Go shout out my guy, you know, Tom Penn over there at the LAFC.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
There you go.
Loved hanging out with you and your wife the other night, Mario.
Hey,
that was great.
Right back at you, my man.
Mario, thank you for stopping by, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there he is, the great Mario Ruiz. All right, I never got to... which Mario will appreciate, one of the days that will live in infamy in mm-hmm. boxing history. Anniversary is today.
What?
We'll tell you next
okay.
on the other side.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Feel like I was dancing earlier today, showing off a little bit of moves.
You were dancing?
Well, on video.
Attempting.
You know, they caught me at the Mandy's, walking to my table, jamming out. And I feel like for a lot of people that thought my dance moves to Steely Dan on a Tuesday night while drinking Chardonnay were not really up to par.
Yeah.
I think if you see these dance moves in a full black tux,
well,
I think I might change your mind.
Mario's still here. He's probably the best judge of dancing that we have in this particular studio, so we can do that. By the way, I was talking about Fury Wilder.
Hold up, though. We don't hear Daddy Yankee on Travis Lee, so that's why I'm over here.
Oh, okay.
I'm over here because Laura got the
got the hits, for sure.
Daddy Yankee.
She got the J-Ball and the
so
Daddy Yankee.
So we tend to play jokes on Cappy to see how bad he is at guessing some of these songs and artists.
Oh, yeah.
And one time he guessed one that was like super random. What was it, Laura?
He shazammed that.
He
Come
totally
on.
Did.
Yeah,
he
did. Shazam
he fooled us.
Yeah.
He
Mario.
Put it to his headphones.
Of course.
And then he told us what it was.
Yeah. I put Shazam to my headphones, and I found it out. And everybody was like blown away. And then I told them the truth.
I was like,
I couldn't
no
lie.
Way you knew yeah. that. Like, right. How did you know? And
my
then,
wife is a pro at Shazam, so I know how quick you can be on that. She don't know no artist, but she knows a good song, though.
Mario, by the way, a lot of people are in the Sedano and Cap community, and they're like, yo,
yeah.
You're not the only one that hears Mario's promos and then starts talking like Mario.
That's funny.
A lot of people do it, man.
Oh, man. Should I be flattered? Or
you
I
should
don't know.
Be flattered, dude. Everybody thinks you're awesome.
So, yeah. So we were just talking about boxing. Mario and I were just talking about, like, I haven't been to a fight in a while. I was going to go to Wilder Fury, the last one that they had. But then he got COVID. So I was in Vegas. Like, I had booked the trip to Vegas. My sister was in town with my brother-in-law. And I'm like, we'll go this weekend. And there's a fight this weekend. I'll get us tickets. We'll go. And then he got COVID. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Fury, man. What a showman, right? He's
yeah.
like a WWE superstar right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he is. And so I didn't get to go to that fight. But I want to go to Bud Crawford and Errol Spence, Jr.
Oh, come on. Don't waste your time with that. I'll tell you the next fight I'm going to.
What's that?
Mario, you want to come with me?
Of course.
I'm going to go to Le'Veon Bell versus Adrian Peterson.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm out.
I
want to
go
that
see
too.
That. That sounds like a good fight.
He's going to go. It's like crypto. He wants to go. He's
yeah,
like,
I do.
He
I
loves
go.
The nonsense.
I like all the.
He doesn't love the sweet
boxing.
Science.
No, I do love the sweet
no,
science.
No, you don't.
I do.
No.
Wait, hold on. You mean to tell me you can't be a boxing fan and love all this ridiculousness in boxing?
No, I don't.
That's a circus right there.
Thank
Come on,
you.
Cap.
Thank
Stay
you,
away
Mario.
From that.
I don't know. I think it's funny. Believe me when I tell you, Mario. And I'm going to name drop here on you.
Okay.
You know who doesn't like that I'm a fan of all these ridiculous boxing matches?
Your buddy Canelo.
Not Canelo, even though we are BFFs.
Right.
Jim Lampley.
Of course, he's a purist.
Lampley hates the fact that I like all these ridiculous fights.
Great Jim Lampley. He's the best.
Yeah,
to
we
got
to bring him
it.
On the show. We got to bring him on. We haven't had him on yet. We got to bring him on.
You know Steve Mason knows him.
Yeah, knows him well, probably.
Yeah, they worked together at a couple of Olympics. Well, I mean, Jim Lampley was really working at the Olympics. Mason was doing some stuff at the Olympics. Yeah.
No, Mason was calling like.
No, he's calling Luge.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
One of those sports. So, Mario, today is the anniversary of something that happened 25 years ago.
By the way, this is the song you Shazammed, by the way.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Wow, this is a classic, Laura. This is classic. This is throwback.
No. Mario, not a classic. You know what this is?
What?
It's a banger.
It is a banger.
Oh, it's funny. So. Today's the anniversary. You're a big boxing fan, Mario.
Yeah.
Today is the anniversary of Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield's ear off in the ring.
25 years, dude.
Crazy. So, Cappy, I was just telling Mario about this. Have you seen the SportsCenter feature that they have on this or no?
I have, and first of all, I just want to say this. It's hard to believe it's been 25 years, because, George, I know exactly where I was at that fight and who I was with, and as soon as it happened, we like ran out of the arena to go back to where the press conferences were all going to be.
Yeah.
Missing a lot of the mayhem that took place. And I feel like I remember thinking like, we got to get out of here before this place blows up, and we got to get to where I think it'll be safe. Cause I could just tell things were going nuts. And then I love Tyson after the fight. You guys remember the interview he did after the fight?
With Jim Gray, right?
Jim Gray is standing there, and he's got Don King behind him and some other, I don't know who the guy was, and Tyson's eye is completely shredded, right? Because he got headbutted. Yeah. That was
his
big
I'm going to eat his children?
No. That was Lennox Lewis. Oh, Lennox, I'm going to eat your children, Lennox. That was that one.
Yeah.
This is a different one, Mario. This one is, look at me, man. Look at me. Look at my eye, man. How am I going
to
go home to my kids?
Okay, can we just play it, right?
Why?
Instead of you doing this really terrible impersonation of Mike Tyson.
Look at me, man.
Yeah.
Listen, Holyfield's not the tough warrior everyone says he is. He got a little nicks on him there, and he quit. I got an eye. I got one eye. I got one eye. He's not impaired. He got ears. I got one eye. Big deal. If he take one, I got another one. I'm ready to fight. He didn't want to fight. I'm ready to fight him right now.
Mills Lane stopped the fight. It wasn't Holyfield who stopped.
Oh, he didn't want to fight.
Let me ask.
We don't know what Mills did. Don't put nothing on Mills.
Well, Mills said he stopped the fight. You bit him. Was that a retaliation for the eye when you bit him in his ear?
Regardless of what I did, he bit butted me for two fights.
But you got to address it, Mike. I did address it.
I addressed it in the ring.
Why did you do that, though, Mike? I mean, was
look
that the proper
me.
Response?
Look at me. I got to go home and my kids are going to be scared of me. Look at me, man.
What are you going to do now in terms of your career, Mike? Well, you continue
to fight.
Okay.
Jim Gray's like, all right, don't beat me up.
Yeah.
Everybody leave me alone. Look at me, man. Look at my eye. I want to fight. He got another ear. Look at me. That's a pretty good Tyson, don't you think, Mario?
That is awful. You're pretty bad at impersonations. I mean, your Shaq is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Your Mario Ruiz is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your Tyson is awful.
I think Shaq may be the worst of them all, though.
Yes.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's the worst.
Maybe I got to retire it then.
Yeah.
Or I got to go back to the drawing board.
Funny.
You can give it to me one more time, though, just so we can hear it.
Chuck. Hey, Chuck. Chuck, you hear Chuck?
See, he never. You really can't understand him. He kind of mumbles a lot, but you do understand when he says Chuck.
Yeah, yeah. No, that actually. Again, it sounds like the Simpsons grandfather. To be honest with you,
LAFC is going to be hosting tonight at the bank, and Shaquille O'Neal is going to be in the crowd.
Hey, Chuck, we gonna go to the soccer game, Chuck?
Bro,
it's all happening here on 710, home of the LAFC.
I love it.
You're so stupid. You really are an idiot. So it was crazy. I remember like the same thing. I was at a party watching that fight, and everybody had the same reaction. Like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, I was at a house party as well.
Yeah, it was just nuts. So ESPN's feature, for those that haven't seen, I was just telling Mario about it. They did it like a crime scene almost, where what happened to the piece of Evander Holyfield's ear? And it's like, you know, like when you look at like those police movies or a police show where they have like the board and all the pictures and they have like the wires or whatever, or like the lines connecting people together. So it starts off with one of the trainers, right, saying, oh my, they're cleaning up the ring and they're like, oh my God, there's Evander's ear. He's going to want that. And he says he runs back to give it to the doctor. And then the doctor, then the fight doctor, puts it on ice and in a biohazard bag, hands it over to the paramedic. And they're interviewing all these people during this feature. Like, here's what I did. This is what I did.
I got to see this.
I gave it to, I bet you it's online somewhere. You can
find
it.
I'm going to look for it.
And then the doctor's like, I put in a biohazard thing and I gave it to the paramedic. His name was whatever, Al. And then Al comes up from his he's like in the back of his paramedic truck and he's explaining, yeah, I got it. And I was in the ambulance with Evander and I was talking to Evander and I told him I had his ear and we were going to the doctor. And then when I came in, I gave it to the nurse. Now they didn't find the nurse, but the next thing you hear is from the doctor saying that when he opened the bag, it was just ice and no ear. And he had to explain to Evander that he didn't have his ear, that he was going to do plastic surgery, but just like seal his ear and not actually put the ear back together.
Did they check eBay?
They did. So they go in retrospect because all of a sudden everyone became a suspect and literally the cops went and like,
how much money can you get for that little piece of ear?
Oh, a ton, I'm sure. Right? But especially back then, but now probably even more. So they went about it and they said they checked like Christie's, Sotheby's, all these auctioneers and whatnot, eBay, and it's never appeared anywhere. So at the end, they're interviewing Evander and Evander gets asked, like, do you know what happened to your ear? He's like, oh yeah, yeah. And they're like, what do you think? Somebody took it? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I know who it was. And they're like, who is it? He's like, nah, I don't need to get into it. It's fine. It is what it is.
He didn't say what? I couldn't hear you. Say it again?
No, right.
He didn't say exactly. That would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
So there was a similar incident I was telling you, George, on ESPN. They have a fighter, a top-ranked fighter by the name of Edgar Berlanga. Mm-hmm. He's from Puerto Rico. He's a hot prospect. And he just tried to bite his opponent's ear.
Yeah.
They were clinching, and he tried to bite it.
Right.
And it was just like... They just swept it under the rug, and I was like, why didn't they make a bigger deal about this?
It's the anniversary, that's why. They just let it slide.
There you go. It was a celebration.
Yeah, in honor of Mike Tyson. Yeah. There you go.
It is such a weird thing, by the way, because if you think back to then, 1997, I believe Tyson got out of jail, I want to say in like 95-ish. So he started fighting when he first got out of jail against, like, tomato cans. Does anybody remember the
Peter
first
McNeely.
Fight?
Peter McNeely.
You got that right.
Yeah.
The Cocoon of Horror.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Peter
McNeely. Which, by the way, then later did a commercial for Pizza Hut. Remember Pizza Hut had the reverse crust with the cheese in it or whatever?
And it knocked him out.
And it knocked him out. He turned the crust and it hit him in the chin and he fell over. Yeah.
And that, you remember the movie, The Great White Hype?
Yeah.
Which had Samuel L. Jackson and Damon Wayans and Peter Berg.
Right.
And that was kind of based on that Peter McNeely, Mike Tyson fight.
Right. Although The Great White Hope back in the day was Jerry Cooney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. But, in 95, I want to say it was like 95, Tyson.
Who Larry Holmes kicked his ass, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, so Tyson gets out of jail, and then he's got fights against like Peter McNeely and like Frank Bruno.
Yeah, Frank Bruno was another one, right?
Oh, gosh,
and by the way, Frank Bruno at that point was way out past his prime, yes.
There were some other guys, but they were all just there so that Tyson could beat him up.
Correct.
So that he could eventually get to
Holyfield.
Holyfield.
Yeah.
And then this is fight two against Holyfield, and Tyson's claim was, and at this point, none of us knew, well, I guess maybe we did know that Tyson was just completely unstable. And
by the way, not as good a boxer anymore. After Customato passed away, he was never the same boxer.
Right. And of course, most of us, at least I put myself in this category, we still believed he was the baddest man on the planet.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And everybody that he was going to walk in, he was going to beat up. And people were going to take a dive like Michael Spinks had done, you know?
Yeah.
But he wasn't. He was not the same guy anymore.
Oh, by the way, wasn't yesterday the anniversary of him knocking out Michael Spinks, Lindsay?
Yeah, in the first round. In like 93 seconds.
93 seconds. That I remember as well. I watched that with my dad at the house on HBO, and it was like he knocked him through the ropes, basically.
That's a big dude going down.
Yeah, it was crazy. Michael Spinks looked terrified walking into the ring.
Yes, he was petrified. He wanted no part of Tyson.
He looked like he was pooping his pants.
Yeah, for sure.
There was no question about it. All right, coming up next, we got Big Deal or No Deal.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks, Christopher. All right, Lindsay, you take it away now.
Thanks, Sedano. Thanks, Christopher. Really excited about Big Deal or No Deal.
Is this ever going to get old?
No.
Oh, my God, yes.
The community loves it. All right, so we were talking about Kyrie Irving a lot today. And with him opting in with the Nets, it led to some more criticism of the star. And now he's firing back at Stephen A. Smith, of all people.
I saw this, yeah.
So earlier today, Irving took offense to Smith's recent comments about his contract situation. Irving is upset about what Stephen A. said, and he's unhappy with how he acts as an older man. He tweeted, quote, "Stephen A. Smith, you're going to have to explain yourself to people in your generation. I am not around many 50-plus-year-olds that speak and act like you do, so this is new for me. But I'm sure my father and uncle can meet you on your level better than I can. We know you, Stephen," in all caps. Is this public Twitter feud between Kyrie and Stephen A. Smith a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
I mean, it's a big deal because Kyrie is very much in the limelight at the moment for a multitude of reasons, and Stephen A. has got the largest platform in sports talk. So I think there's some of that. Stephen A. did respond to him with a long post that he wrote on his phone notes, it looks like. And
I love when they do that, and when it's so long.
Yeah, and went back at him and even talked about his uncle, because Kyrie's uncle is Rod Strickland, former NBA player.
Who Stephen A. said, "I got a lot of respect for that brother."
Yeah, and so anyway, long story short, Stephen A. is not going to back down from something like that. So it will get spicier, in my opinion.
Why would he? I mean, listen, it's a big deal for this reason. When Kyrie goes back at Stephen A., it's kind of like this whole, I'm a big star athlete, I'm going to make $36 million this year, and everybody's going to side with me. But the reality is, I think most people will side with Stephen A., and so you can try and...
I don't know about that. I think really? You'd be surprised how many people side with Kyrie.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, well, I'm on Stephen A.'s side.
Yeah.
And I really want Kyrie or KD or any of these guys, really. I guess I got to say some stuff that gets their attention. Because I love the fact that they're back and forth now. Because by going back and forth, they're just helping Stephen A.'s cause.
Maybe
that's what he
pinch.
Wants. What are you? You think Stephen A.'s going to back down? No Point chance. You're giving him everything he wants. I want a little piece of that pie.
Are y'all smoking crack?
It's my question.
So between like Kyrie and Stephen A.'s beef, and then on the other side you got
well, and by the way, Kevin Durant and Stephen A. go way back.
Right.
Remember, you know, I mean, goes back to when Kevin Durant and him had that beef, and then Stephen A. said this on TV:
"You do not want to make an enemy out of me."
Oh no, you do not want to make an enemy out of me. He goes on and on. I know a lot of the lines from that rant. I love that rant.
KD on Twitter is one of my favorite things ever. I just think he's a hilarious troll, and I love it. And
then I know this stuff!
You got Westbrook beefing with Skip Bayless about the whole Westbrook thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, they've gone mad.
Ah!
Exactly. That's exactly
See,
how we listen, feel about
it. This is why Stephen A. is making whatever it is, $8 to $12 million as it's reported. This is why Skip Bayless is making $5, $6, $7 million working on a TV show that literally nobody sees. Because the dude can get a reaction. You know, like these athletes get so angry at what this guy says. How dare this guy, 65-year-old, out of touch white guy like Skip Bayless, how dare he be talking like that about me? And then they go back at him and you've just fed him exactly what he wants.
Yep, pretty much.
All right, next one. So Airbnb is now making a permanent ban on parties on homes listed on the site for short-term rentals. The company believes that the ban has been working, saying today that reports of parties at listed properties have dropped 44% from a year ago, ever since they instated the indefinite ban. So about a year ago, they were like, people are having too many parties, we're going to ban them for now, I guess because of COVID and whatever. And now they're just keeping it. They said that more than 6,600 guests were suspended last year for party-related violations. And though the ban is going to be permanent, they're still going to have a limit of 16 people at rented properties, I guess. So is this party ban on Airbnb properties a big deal or no deal, Cappy?
I guess I'm going to say it's no deal for me. because I can't really say that I use Airbnb that often. And even when I do, throw big parties.
I don't throw big parties. No. But I do because I have kids, and it's just easier to have an Airbnb as opposed to a hotel room.
So much better.
Yeah.
But I can't say that I feel like this is going to impact me. But I will say this. If you own a place and you list it on Airbnb, while on one hand you may not have as many bookings, on the other hand, you have a better chance of your place surviving your guests.
Yeah, if you strictly say no parties.
Yeah, because I know some people that have had their houses torn to shreds.
Yeah. People get crazy, man.
Well, they feel like, hey, listen, I'm renting this house. I'm going to treat it like it's my own. And then they realize, I would never treat my own house like this.
Right. I do. I treat it better than my own house when I'm in these places.
I know, because me, I'm all worried, like, oh, they're going to get me for some security deposit.
Right.
They're going to screw me over.
I'm the same way.
Like, I want to make sure everything's like nice and neat.
Yeah, I clean up really well at those places. So, all right, what's next, Lindsay?
All right, so Sean Diddy Combs is pumping some big money into two HBCU programs.
Oh, cool.
He announced this past weekend that Jackson State and Howard University will be receiving large donations. His reasoning stems from wanting HBCUs to provide more opportunities for black athletes. He wrote, quote, I want to donate $1 million to Howard University. Also, I'm going to drop another million on Deion Sanders and Jackson State because we should play for us. Thank you, everyone, from the bottom of my heart. I love y'all. Peace. Is Diddy donating $1 million to Jackson State football a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
Big deal. I love it. I think that, you know, look, I love the idea of HBCUs having an identity on the big-time college football landscape. It's honestly, it's surprising that it's taken this long for it to happen in some ways, because I would have guessed that there would have been a bigger push to make that happen sooner. But I'm glad we're here, and I think Deion, particularly at Jackson State, is going to make a big impact on this. Like, Cappy, I don't remember if it was you who was on the show with me the day that this became a big story, but I remember, I mean, you and I grew up in an era where, you know, when we were really young, like children, you know, Miami and Florida State were like, you know, they weren't that good. And then Bobby Bowden got to Florida State, and then Miami got good. But they were like also Rams for a long time. And it's because kids in that general region decided to stay home. And in this case, I think when you look at schools like Jackson State and Grambling and where they're positioned, if the kids just stayed home, they would be powerhouses.
So you say that this is a big deal and you love it, right?
I do.
I'm going to say no deal and I hate it.
Why?
Okay. So you're Jackson State. You got Deion Sanders. He has brought an absolute ton of publicity to Jackson State and to HBCU football. He's also been able to go out and get some of the best recruits in the country. So he gets $1 million for his program, and Howard gets $1 million for their program. I'm Florida A&M. I'm Grambling. I'm Prairie View. What about me, Diddy? So why give to two rather than give to all?
Well, because I'm guessing those are two that he has a close connection to. Where are the alums? There's plenty of great alums from Florida A&M, from Grambling.
All I'm saying is I would just think that if you're going to support HBCU football,
well, why support two rather than all? Why can't he start with two and then support more later?
Well, that's why I'm saying no deal, because if it's a big deal, support everybody in the conference.
I would say that supporting any is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? You're going to create the haves and the have-nots within the conference.
Right, but that's generally what you do in any sport.
Right, but in this case, what we're talking about is historically black colleges. Not these two are better than the rest of them. You want to try and raise them all up together. I'm just surprised that he chooses two rather than giving to all.
Okay, but it's just the beginning.
Well, how do we know?
I mean, you think that he's not going to continue to donate? By the way, Chris Paul has done a tremendous job of raising awareness and creating finances for a number of HBCUs. So, I mean, it is certainly in the public eye now, and I think that there's a lot of support for HBCUs at the moment. And just because Diddy decided to just pick two at the moment doesn't mean he's not going to pick more.
All right, well, Diddy, give to everybody. That's all I'm saying, man.
Easy for you. I always love how you try to tell people how to spend their money.
Well, if I had Diddy's money and I wanted to support HBCUs, I wouldn't pick two of them. I'd say I want to support all of them.
Okay. Well, why don't you support some of them? You can give a couple $100 to each one.
How many are there?
I mean, there's a good number of them. I don't know off the top of my head how many.
I'm going to have to see.
I gave some money to Jackson State, but separately for a different reason, because not because of Deion Sanders, because there was a longtime NBA reporter named Sekou Smith who worked on NBA TV. He used to work many years ago at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's like an OG, and he passed away. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but he passed away of coronavirus early on during the pandemic, and they set up a fund in his name, and I donated to that.
You know, I would have been more inclined to donate to Jackson State had my son gone to Jackson State. Do you recall that?
Yeah, no. Why didn't that work out? You said that you wanted him to go play there and it didn't work out.
We were really, really close to possibly sending my son to Jackson State, and we really thought this was a great idea. From an NIL standpoint, you're the white Jewish kicker at a historically black college playing for Deion Sanders.
Right.
George, I was thinking marketing the whole time.
And what happened? Deion wasn't interested?
No, it actually wasn't that. There was a coach on the staff who kind of, I don't know, he kind of made it seem like, I'm not sure this is the best situation.
Okay.
So we said, all right, we'll go somewhere else.
And where's your son now?
Now he's at a school called West Liberty University.
Okay, and where's that?
Which it's in West Virginia, which, by the way, there is no Deion Sanders.
States, one of the states I haven't gone to.
Well, maybe you'll go this year.
Maybe we'll do a road trip.
That would be great. There is no Deion Sanders coaching at this school. There is no Diddy making donations to this school. And there probably are no NIL deals coming for this school.
Why don't you start one? Sunday Swagger.
Call. Okay, perhaps. It's a thought.
Yeah. Saturday Swagger.
That's a better idea.
There you go. Can be the spinoff. All right, that is Big Deal or No Deal. Do we have any more, Linz? Are we done?
I mean, I have more, but we can save them for tomorrow.
Okay, let's save them for tomorrow. Coming up next, speaking of college football, Cappy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ACC did something today that I think every conference, especially the Pac-12, should do. I'll tell you what in 2 minutes. All right, final segment here.
Is this some Daddy Yankee?
I love how you still call it Daddy Yankee.
Yankee.
Laura, am I saying it right? And is it the right band?
He says it's Daddy Yankee.
Daddy Yankee.
I thought it was Daddy Yankee.
Why?
Because you kept saying it like that, Daddy Yankee.
No, I didn't.
No.
Don't put this on me.
Yeah, I thought you said Yankee, not Yankee. Like, I thought I was anglicizing it by calling it Daddy Yankee.
No, he calls it Daddy Yankee.
I mean, he's in there. He's included in the song, but there's like J Balvin and Anuel AA.
Yeah, J Balvin. Ones. You don't know J Balvin?
Nope.
He's good.
He is really good. Great.
Well,
concert.
I like the song.
Good.
Cappy, couple sure. things. In the community, Robert Watkins, or excuse me, Wilkins, my apologies, says, Cap, stay out of Diddy's pockets. There are over 100 HBCUs, and you want Diddy to give to them all?
Well, that's why I asked the question, how many HBCUs
100.
Are there? Are we
over
sure 100. About that? Really?
Yes.
Wow, I had no idea there were so many.
Well, there you go. Shocker.
I had no idea.
Are they building an arena in San Diego for something?
Not that I know of. Why?
Because your boy Alex Padilla tweeted something out.
Oh, really?
New sports arena rendering or something like that.
Oh, yeah. He's got a coffee table book that he's working on because San Diego's a city that loves to have renderings of new stadiums and arenas and never builds them.
I know. I was just asking, like, are they trying to get, like, a hockey team or something? Like, what's happening? I feel like hockey would be big in San Diego.
I don't know, man. They got minor league hockey, like a Ducks minor league affiliate.
Yeah,
you know?
But you don't think, like, you know, all those kooky San Diegans wouldn't go and watch hockey and support hockey?
I mean, maybe if there was a brand new building, they might.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, maybe. But you got the Ducks and the Kings right in your backyard. And San Diego's not a desirable place for the NHL, just like it's not a desirable place for the NBA. I mean, that's cities like
Seattle. No, they've already
Seattle
tried that.
And Vegas. You know, Vegas. I mean, those are the cities that the NBA wants to go
Although,
to.
Although, I do think anyone, like, selfishly, who works in media would love a San Diego team. Would love more San Diego teams.
Well,
it's a beautiful place.
They wanted an NFL team so that the Super Bowl could come back here, so that the NFL draft could come back to San
right.
Diego.
Yeah.
And now the NFL doesn't need San Diego either because the NFL has
LA now.
Bigger and better. They got
yeah,
LA.
Yeah. 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 So it's just the old the gutty little Padres.
That's it. That's all that's left.
Laura just gave me the stank face when I said the gutty little Padres.
I mean, if you like minor league sports, it's the town for you. I mean, seriously.
I was going to ask, is there like an AHL team?
There's a the team is the Ducks minor league affiliate called the Gulls.
Yeah.
There's like a lacrosse team, like an indoor lacrosse team. There's like a rugby team. There's a USL soccer team. Yeah, USL soccer is coached by Landon Donovan, so that's kind of cool.
I'm surprised MLS is not a place for this.
It'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Mario just texted me and said they're building a football stadium for SDSU.
That is true.
Where Qualcomm used to be.
That is true. So
now, is that like, what is that going to be, like a 50,000 seater?
No. Like 30,000, like, you know, mid-majors, you know, college football.
Yeah.
Kind of like no different than, you know, the soccer stadiums in L.A. That's kind of the
Like
the
LAFC,
theme.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, if you like to see San Diego State play Wyoming, it'll be great. I personally don't.
I mean, Josh Allen went to Wyoming, so, you know.
Yeah, but that's one guy. You know, maybe I should have picked somebody else. If you want to see San Diego State play against UNLV, then that's the stadium for you. Me personally, I would rather see USC play against Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Speaking of which, I saw this story. Did you see this story about the ACC today?
I did. I'm a little confused by it.
Okay, let me unconfuse you.
Go ahead.
Okay. So basically the ACC decided, you know what? We're just going to do this thing where our football schedules from now on, we will make sure that every year, every team is going to play three of their biggest rivals, okay? So every year, for example, like let's use the school that, you know, I grew up loving. Miami, they're going to play Florida State, obviously, right, in the conference. Mm-hmm. They're going to play Boston College, who they have a long history with, right?
Okay.
And they're going to play Louisville. Now, that one's kind of weird, but whatever. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of kids from that area that end up going to Louisville, so I guess that makes some sense. So,
yeah, I mean, Miami, Boston College, obviously, like you said, there's the
history.
There's the Doug Flutie game. Yeah. The Miami versus Florida State, okay, fine. These guys go back a long way. There's a lot of missed field goals in that series. Louisville makes no sense to me, but I'm with you.
Right. It probably should have been Virginia Tech, to be honest with you. But whatever. Nonetheless, their goal is three primary opponents every year, and the other 10 teams in the league, because they got a 14-team league, will play twice during a four-year cycle. Within a four-year cycle, you're going to play each team home and away. And I think that's really smart, A, because what's happened in the past in some of these conferences is that you don't get some of these matchups for years. So this way you're guaranteed these matchups within a four-year span, and each team will get a home and away, even within the conference. Now, the best part of all of this to me, forget about the way it's set up. The best part is they're getting rid of divisions. And that to me is the smart thing. You know why? Because let's just say, and that this isn't the case in when it comes to the ACC, but let's use the Pac-12 as an example, okay? The Pac-12, let's say Utah is the best team last year in the Pac-12, right?
Okay.
They are in the Pac-12 South. So going into this season, they're the favorite to win the Pac-12 again at the moment, okay? Or they're amongst the favorites. And for USC would not be able to play in the Pac-12 championship, because if Utah beats them, they're out. They're done, basically. Like, they're not going to be – if Utah goes undefeated in their side of the bracket and USC loses to them, Utah's going to face whoever's coming out of the North, which is probably going to be Oregon in this case. But what the ACC has done is screw the divisions. We're going to get the best two teams regardless of what division they're in. That's why there's no more divisions. It's just 14 teams, and whoever has the best two winning percentages will play in the ACC championship. And I think the Pac-12 should do that, because what's going to happen is it allows USC an opportunity to play Utah in the championship, and Utah has been good for a long time and will continue to be good. And it will give USC more of an opportunity to be in that championship. If you're the Pac-12, you need USC to be in that Pac-12 championship. Now, look, I think they'll be there plenty with Lincoln Riley, but Utah is one of those teams that always gives everyone trouble, including them, historically. So I just think if you're the Pac-12, it's forward thinking to say, all right, we're guaranteeing that USC has a better shot of being in the conference championship every year.
Goodness, man. Could you imagine the rest of the Pac-12 schools? You're in there trying to sell that. Hey, guys. Hey, listen. Everybody listen up for a second.
No, you're not
here.
Saying that. You don't sell it that way.
Hey, Washington State and Oregon State, just so you guys know, what we're doing is we're trying to get USC into a better situation. We don't care about you, Arizona or Arizona State. We don't care about you, Oregon or Oregon State. Washington State, Stanford,
Cal,
we don't care
about
any of you guys.
They like Oregon. They care about Oregon.
But the most important thing for us is to get SC into a position, because even if Oregon is really, really good, they're still only Oregon. But you see, if USC is really, really good, That's a big deal nationally.
Yeah.
And I just, while I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate it, and I actually concur with it, I think it's kind of odd to think that the Pac-12 has to do what it can to prop up SC, whereas it's kind of easy. Meaning, if you're the best team, you'll have the best opportunities. And SC has not been, but with this new coach and with this new transfer portal and with the NIL money, really, the next 3, 4, 5 years, I mean, SC should be back not to being the best team in the Pac-12, not to being the best program on the West Coast. USC should get back into the Alabama, Clemson,
I agree, Cappy. I agree with all that stuff. All I'm telling you is this gives you a better chance of that being the case every year, okay? And here's the thing. The way you sell it is, by the way, if you're Washington, you're being blocked by Oregon in the north. If you're Stanford, who has had a number of great years, they can be blocked by Oregon. There, it just gives more of an opportunity to all the teams as opposed to saddling them with divisions. Like, the division stuff is stupid.
Yeah, I mean, listen, in the final analysis of it, George, the division thing stinks because we all understand it. That you could have the best three teams in the north and they're much better than the teams in the south, which I'm using that as an example, and I'm not even using the Pac-12. But the point is that now the top team from the north has to play the top team from the south, but teams 2 and 3 from the north are way better than team 1 in the south. So getting rid of the divisions is a smart idea, particularly, you know, I think the divisions were a byproduct of the growth of the conferences. Well, what are we going to do? Yeah. We got too many guys now, you know what I mean? Let's just break them off into half and half.
Right.
Hasn't really worked out so great.
Yeah, you win, you know, Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like all that stuff. So, yeah, I get it, but I don't think you need that anymore.
Yeah.
And by the way, baseball has done that in a lot of ways, right? Like, the wild card has created the division, making the division less meaningful.
Yeah, I just, one thing I don't love about the ACC part of it is that, like, so I'm an ACC fan because I went to Pitt.
Yeah.
Pitt's three common opponents that they'll play every year, Boston College, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech. I can live with Boston College and Syracuse. They're old Big East schools. Yeah. Gosh, I wish Miami was the third rather than Virginia Tech.
Right, well, I'm sure everyone would want Miami and Florida State on Clemson on their schedule at some point. Yeah, so it is what it is. Yeah. All right, we're done here, Cappy.
That's it. We're done. We're out of here.
Yeah.
Great day.
It was a good day. We did
a lot of
show.
Fun today. Yeah.
Did a good show.
Solid broadcast.
Mario was here. You want to do a Mario impression on the way out?
Hey, LAFC has Chicharito coming to town to take him on at the bank. We're all in on LAFC.
Take us away, Mario. Great job, Lindsay and Laura.
Love that guy.
All right, we're out of here. See you.